is Monday, December 2nd.
Right.
And tonight is beginning the next day, the Hebrew calendar, the 30th of Kislev, the last day of the month of Kislev. And it's also the beginning of Rosh Chodesh. So Rosh Chodesh is the birth of the new moon. So tonight, we light the six Hanukkah candles. We have a double theme of renewal happening. Yeah. And there's something special about these two renewals. They're both connected in different ways to the renewal of light in our solar system that illuminates the earth, as we have the renewal of the moon, which is the beginning of the moon's growth to full illumination. And with Hanukkah, we are doing a ritualization of the return of the sun. Right? In this darkest time of year, going into the depth of winter and the darkness of winter, and both ritualizing the bringing back of the light of the sun, and also awakening in ourselves the memory and the knowledge that the sun is there, even though it's obscured. So there's a special spiritual message in this, in the fact that the light that becomes renewed externally is not a light that has to be regenerated. It's not that when we light the candles, we're making a new light. We have to strike the match and create a light. But what those candles are pointing to is a light that is not being created, that was there all along, but it cyclically becomes obscured, and then gradually comes back and illuminates again, then it becomes obscured again. Right? So this seems to be our experience, right? Our dualistic experience of experiencing goodness, experiencing that which is fulfilling, that which is whole, that which is wholesome, and also experiencing the opposite, which we sometimes say is represented by darkness, but that's just a metaphor. You could actually reverse it too. Right? The fire could be an angry fire, and the darkness could be peaceful oneness. So it's just, these are just symbols. But the fact remains that our experience is dualistic. And because our experience is like that, we tend to believe that the goodness is something that's produced. That the goodness is based on conditions. When in fact, it's only our perception of the goodness that's based on conditions. Just like the moon reflects that light only due to the condition of its position, right, in relation to the earth and the sun. But the sun isn't changing. So when we buy into this idea that goodness has to be produced, that it's based on certain conditions, then we are setting up a situation by which we want to reach after that condition of goodness. And we associate the goodness with particular conditions. Maybe the goodness is that we associate it with being in a sweet group like this, and lighting the candle and coming together to meditate. Or maybe we associate the goodness with chocolate, or you know, or whatever it is that we are imagining in our mind is going to produce some effect of goodness. And in doing that, we perpetuate this dynamic. We perpetuate this dynamic of experiencing the universe in this dualistic way, and we unknowingly are giving up the access, the one access point to that goodness that we have. That one access point being not any particular external condition, but rather the relationship of openness to whatever is our external condition. And that openness is always accessible to us. From that openness can be born the experience of the light. But the experience of the light is actually cyclical. It comes and goes. It's not like we're going to open and then the light's going to come and stay in a single experience of bliss and joy and goodness. The experience of it comes and goes. But in the choice, in becoming aware of that choice, in this moment, to be open, to not resist reality as it's unfolding in this moment, then there's another discovery that can be made, which is that that openness itself is actually that light, is actually that goodness that we're seeking. So even though there may be external things in our awareness, whether it's thoughts or things that are happening external to ourselves that are producing what we think is unsatisfactory or producing irritation or producing terror or producing triggering old emotional patterns. The consciousness in which those things are arising, which is accessible to us in this and in every moment, is itself free from those things and is itself the well from which the experience of goodness and joy arises. So there's another dual aspect of this openness that I want to mention that's related to this chant that I want to teach you tonight. And the first one has to do with openness to this, just to this. Just to being non-resistant and open completely to all of this, the totality of your experience in this moment. But even when you're open to the totality of your experience in this moment, there's still the knowledge in your mind that our future is doomed. Right? We know that our physical body is doomed, and we know that all kinds of other things are going to happen in the future that may detract from the peace of being in this moment. So we know that, and so there has to be another kind of openness too, which is openness to the future. And that can come from the recognition of something which is really obvious, which is that the future moments are really just the same as these moments. Future moments and this moment are all the same thing. They're all beingness. They're all existence. So pointing that out is to help to unhinge this tendency in meditation and in awareness and in presentness, this tendency to be for presentness to have a kind of desperate quality to it. Right? Okay, I'm present now, but I don't want to think about what's going to happen later. I have to shield myself from thoughts about what I have to do tomorrow because I'm just trying to be present now. But actually, this openness allows for everything. It allows for the stressful thoughts about tomorrow to come, and that can live in the openness too, and we don't have to get drawn into that. We don't have to get sucked into that drama. We don't have to resist anything that exists in our mind, any of our understanding about how the future is unfolding. We can relax open into all that. And so this chant is a reminder of that. Because it says, Ata hu, which means Ata is you, and hu is it. It can also be he. Hebrew is a gendered language, so it's either who or he or she. But in this case, we'll say it, gender neutral. And in Sufism, of course, hu is also a divine name. So yes. So we have a very, the word hu is very powerful. So ata hu, you are who, you are it. And I like to think of the it actually as all capital letters in English. Mm-hmm. Because meaning that it's reminding us, this is it. Right? The ultimate goodness or the ultimate peak that we're striving for is an illusion in the mind. The real it is this. This is it. This is the ultimate it right here. You are it. And you are this. And that's what it says. It says, Atahu ba'olam hazeh. And the word olam is also a wonderful word because it means the world. It means world. But it also means eternity. So ba'olam hazeh, zeh means this. So straight translation could be, you are it that is in this world. Or you are it in this world. But you can also say you are it in this eternity, in this eternal moment. Because this thisness is eternal. Thisness is never not thisness. We're always in this. So atahu ba'olam hazeh. Let's just say that together. We'll call and response so we can start to get the words ingrained in our minds so we can sing it more easily. So atahu
atahu
ba'olam hazeh.
Ba'olam hazeh.
In this eternal moment, we're in this world. Okay? And then it says, so that's the this. And then it's looking forward to everything that's coming. Atahu.
Atahu.
La'olam haba.
La'olam haba.
Haba means coming. So la'olam haba means the world that is coming. And really the world that is coming is just another way of saying this world, but it's a different point of view, because this world is always becoming. This is not frozen, this is becoming. So this is divinity, this is it right now, right here, right now. But don't fall for the trick of the mind that saying this is somehow capturing it. It's somehow putting it in a box and now you're going to resist whatever's coming up. Because whatever's coming up is also all this, right? It's all one thing. It's this, and it's coming. It's olam hazeh, and it's olam haba. This world and the world that is coming, all one thing. Atahu ba'olam hazeh, atahu la'olam haba. So.
Ah. Ta la 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 la.
seeing if, as you sit, if you can get a sense of that release and that relief of accepting that this is it. The dreams and fantasies of the mind might want to be disappointed about that, but the heart is relieved. Mm-hmm. that really what there is to open to is right here, as opposed to thinking we have to find it or thinking we have to achieve it. When you open your senses to the sound of that jet going overhead right now, you relax the energy of your mind to fully embrace and rest on the life that lives in your body in this moment. Feeling the dance of life in your body as your own in-breath and your own out-breath. Knowing that all life forms come and go, we're in this body for a little while with this gift of this particular body and this particular incarnation, that as all the lives come and go, it's all the same. It's all the life of the universe, incarnating, creating, rising and falling, like the cycles of the moon, rising and falling like the light and darkness in the seasons. So just as the candles of the Chanukiah, or the lights of the Chanukiah, are increasing, so we can allow this evening the increasing of our own fullness into this reality and our own openness to all that wants to come. Is the intention and also the reminder. As we sit for these 20 minutes, opening, embracing.